I'm Kim Honey. I'm a reader at St Margaret's Church in Chipstead. I'm married to Matthew, and I live in Coulsdon with four grown-up children, three dogs, two cats, and a small flock of eight chickens. I have said these words, or a shortened version, perhaps omitting the bit about dogs, cats, and chickens, so many times in the last year or so that I've lost count. If, like me, perhaps through work, you attend a number of courses, meetings, working groups, and training sessions, you will, like me, possibly dread hearing the words. Now, before we start, let's just go around the room and introduce ourselves. Just in a few sentences, say who you are and where you're from. What do you say about yourself? When we're asked to do this kind of exercise, we tend to say the same sorts of things, don't we? We give our name. We perhaps say what it is we do for a living. We might say where we live. And possibly a few domestic details, whether we're married, whether we have children, and so on. So when the Jewish leaders came to John and asked him who he was, we could perhaps have expected something along the lines of John, son of Zechariah, prophet, baptizer, from Judea, but currently of no fixed abode, no dependents. And yet we don't hear anything about John himself, do we? When they first ask, John doesn't say anything about who he is, but rather who he isn't. In verse 20, it says, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. So they go on to ask him, well, is he Elijah? Is he the prophet? And in increasingly short responses, he says, no, I'm not. But he doesn't say anything else. At last, they plead with him. They've got to take some kind of answer back to the people who sent them. So they say straight out, what do you say about yourself? And he responds by quoting the prophet Isaiah, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. You see, the leaders kept pressing John to say who he was because people were expecting the Messiah to come. But John only emphasized why he had come, to prepare the way for the Messiah. See, the Pharisees missed the point. They wanted to know who John was. John wanted them to know who Jesus was. And throughout John's gospel, that's what John the Baptist does. He points to Jesus. In the other three gospels, John the Baptist is a prophet who has an important ministry in his own right. They talk a lot about his baptisms. But in the gospel of John, for the most part, he just points to Christ. Unlike in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Gospel of John identifies this person only as John, not John the Baptist. The John of John's Gospel is never called the Baptist. Rather, he's a witness. John the Witness, perhaps. His primary role here is not as one who baptizes, but one who testifies to the light coming in the world. A very human witness to a cosmic event. He is pointing people to Jesus. The opening two verses of John's Gospel describe the uniqueness of Jesus' identity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. These identities are inseparable, and John is the first human witness to this unique relationship of Father and Son. And when we first come across John in this gospel, we immediately see it's not by chance that he's going to be the first to witness the identity of Christ. We heard it in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. God has chosen John to be a witness to Jesus. And John somehow knew that. Because you could read those words of his as somewhat humble and self-effacing, couldn't you? Well, Me? No, no, I'm just a voice in the wilderness. But it's not like that, is it? It rings with certainty. John knows exactly who he is and who he is not. He knows that he's a necessary part of God's plan. The first actor on the stage, if you like, setting the scene, letting us know what's to come. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. John identifies himself in, through, and by his relationship with Jesus. Whereas Jesus defines himself as I am. John is clear to say, I am not. He's not the Messiah, Elijah, or the prophet. He is not the light that shines in the darkness. Yet even in these resolute claims about what he is not, who he is and why he's here is defined by the presence of Christ, the Word made flesh. He can only articulate his identity in connection to Jesus' identity. Can we make similar claims about our purpose? Can we respond to the question, who are you, with the same connection with God and all that God wants us to be? Can we locate our identity so intimately with Jesus? I think today Maya can. Many of the words in that part of our service as we came to Maya's baptism are all about identity. The fact that her name is used is important. The fact that we say words like, do not be ashamed of Christ, you are his forever. That proclaims her identity as a child of God. And we go on to welcome her, or we went on to welcome her, didn't we? We said, we welcome you into the fellowship of faith. We are children of the same Heavenly Father. Maya is a child of God. But by the same token, if we are welcoming her into a family, if we are stating that we are children of the same Heavenly Father, we too are children of God. That is something about our identity. And these two readings today were all about identity. The first reading we had, that passage from Isaiah, is the very same passage that later on in his ministry is handed to Jesus in the synagogue, and which he reads aloud. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. When Jesus reads these words, he then rolls up the scroll, hands it back, and looks at them all before saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He is proclaiming that he is the one who will bring this good news to pass. This is his identity. And here, John 2 quotes Isaiah to show his identity. I am the witness. I've come to show you the Messiah. Like the man whose name was John, the church is sent into today's world as a witness. We have a role to show Christ to others in an increasingly fractured and broken secular world, to remind others, and perhaps ourselves, that actually there is more to life than us, than our needs, our wants, our pleasures. It's not all about us. It's about something so much bigger. All too often we unconsciously or consciously put ourselves at the centre of our universe. We make ourselves the centre of attention. And that's why this gospel passage is such a good reminder and such a good Advent reading, because we see the example of John, asked about himself and confidently proclaiming Christ. John's witness was public, certain, and humble. Ours needs to be the same. But these qualities are actually in somewhat in tension with the spirit of our age, aren't they? They're countercultural in today's society. Many people today regard religion as something that's very private, not public. They don't want to necessarily hear about another person's belief. So how do we balance that if we believe that the gospel is true and that it must be proclaimed boldly, publicly and confidently? I think the answer is to go back to those three words: public, certain and humble. We need to witness to this truth, but we need to do it with humility. For John, that meant directing people away from himself and towards Jesus. So when people asked him about himself, he pointed them to Jesus. This Advent, we look ahead to the coming of Christ, to the light of the world. We, like John the Baptist, are not the source of God's light. We merely reflect God's light. It's not all about us. It's about something so much bigger. Jesus Christ is the true light. He helps us see our way to God and shows us how to walk along that way. So what will that witness look like? How do we identify ourselves in this world so that others may believe? How do we point others to Christ? Well, there are many things we could do. We could begin by telling other people about this community that we're part of, about the sorts of things that our church gets involved with. We could dare to add the word God into our secular conversations. Use it from time to time to communicate that actually he is a part of our lives. We could even talk about the difference that our faith has made to us in our life. And if that all sounds a bit too scary and you don't feel quite ready to talk openly to non-believers about your faith yet, you can certainly let people know who you are by the way you live your life, the way you treat other people, all people. In other words, if you're not comfortable preaching the gospel in words, you can simply live it. Share with others. Help people you see who are in need. Make the effort to forgive somebody who's upset you. Be kind. Invite someone to some of our Christmas services here. You could talk to somebody today about how much you're looking forward to carols by candlelight this evening, to the atmosphere, the mulled wine, the mince pies, the worship, the singing. Bring them along with you this evening. We can all witness to the light, and we can do it as we carry out our normal everyday activities, because we too are anointed. I know this because Jesus said so himself: as the Father sent me, so I send you. I know this because Jesus taught us to serve and to love one another. I know this because it's written in Isaiah: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. This is your anointing. This is my anointing. That is who we are. That is our identity. Let's pray. Lord, this Advent, this Christmas, help us to know and to live out our identity as your beloved children. Give us the courage to be more like John, to show Christ to others who may not yet know him. Give us the confidence to identify ourselves as belonging to you. And give us humility, Lord, in those times when we secretly want to be the centre of attention, when we desire to receive the acclaim, the glory that actually belongs to you. Help us live our lives out this week in a way that will show your glory to others. Amen.